You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. Now, this is a cool podcast because you join Alex and I in Phoenix, Arizona at the Radford Racing School, where we're going hands-on with something a little bit special.
Yeah, this is the all-new Dodge Charger Daytona, and that Daytona signifies that this is all electric. Quite the replacement to the old Challenger and Charger.
And you might hear some squealing, some V8 sounds behind us, because this is a running and operating racing school where they are currently running the gasoline supercharged Hellcats all around us, and this is the replacement to that. And in this video, we're gonna take you through this vehicle. We're gonna talk to some of the folks responsible to it. We're gonna show you the new Fratsonic exhaust speaker in the rear, and we're gonna find out, is this a suitable replacement to the outgoing gasoline beast? So Alex, let's start with probably the best part about the new Charger Daytona. That's gotta be the looks.
Yeah, the design is awesome. I think Dodge absolutely killed it with this. And part of the reason I think they killed it is this looks really similar to the outgoing Charger and Challenger, which already was a really good looking car. But the proportions are just right. You walk up to it and it definitely looks like a muscle car. And this front wing element is just awesome, huh, Tommy?
What they did so well is they incorporated some retro design cues without making it a caricature of like a 1960s or 70s car. So talking to the design team, they actually had a 1968 Charger from the Heritage Collection. And one of the engineers said, or one of the designers said, can we bring this into the design studio when designing the new Charger? And the lead designer said no, because he didn't want to just do a copy of a 68. He wanted to give it its own flair, its own feel, and its own look, but still have some throwback cues to their history. So like the front end, right? We've got this rectangular swath of black, which is imposing, it's menacing, and it's very similar to that 68 Charger, but we're bringing in technology with this R-wing, which is a slit between this lower fascia and this upper plastic panel. So you get the benefit of having a low raked front end for aerodynamics, but you get the visual cue of being tall and imposing in the front. That is some really clever engineering.
Yeah, agreed. I think this wing is my favorite part of the exterior design on this. And one of the reasons I like it so much is you walk up to the car, it looks like a uniquely shaped hood, but you can't really notice that there's that huge pass through there until you start looking for it. So it's not like a huge deck spoiler in the back where it's super in your face. You kind of got to look for it, but once you know it's there, it is a really cool design element that's so unique and you don't see it on any other cars.
And this front end treatment's really cool as well. So we have this light bar that curves up along the sides of the headlights and then extends the entire width of the Charger. And it gives it a very unique front profile, and the actual headlights are kind of inset deep underneath the R-wing. But look, we were driving this car around Phoenix today, and you know, when you drive something that looks radically different than anything else on the road, like a Cybertruck or an ID. Buzz, you expect people to come up and talk to you about it. This car looks different, but not radically different from like a Challenger or Charger, and yet folks were still coming up to us all the time saying, super nice car, what is that? That thing looks awesome. So from a design standpoint, dude, they nailed it.
Yeah, totally. Like I said, the proportions are right. It's got a nice wide body without, you know, looking like it has bolt-on fenders on the side of it. The design is just, I think, really killer. It's big, but I think it matches the personality of this car.
The big but is funny because total length, 206 inches. It's like 9 inches longer than the outgoing, I think, Challenger. I mean, it's the size of a Mercedes S-Class from a few years ago.
Yeah, it's really big, and it doesn't matter that it's a two-door. This will eventually be coming in a four-door model too, but no matter whether you get the two-door or the four-door, it's gonna be the same exterior dimensions. So yeah, it's a big car.
Crazy, I mean, one of the few cars where like the two-door is the same length as the four-door, and look at the length of that two-door, of the door design.
Yeah, you can barely hug it, Tommy.
Dude, it's huge. Like, small parking lots, not this car's friend, because it's also 2 inches wider than the outgoing car. And we're talking, like, wide-body outgoing car. Yeah. So these things are wide. But the crazy part is, interior dimensions are exactly the same between the two and the four doors, which is wild. So what they're doing is, on the four-door, they move the B-pillar.
When it comes to fungicides, there's only one way to spell yield. N-E-O. Miravis Neo is the 2024 number one retailer recommended corn fungicide for a reason. It dominates spots, rots, blights, and stress to out-yield competitive brands like Veltima. And there's 6 years of university data to prove it. Ask your Syngenta retailer about using Miravis Neo for more yield more often. Based on 2024 Stratus Retailer Efficacy Study. Always read and follow label instructions.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
So they add another door, they shrink the front door, but the overall side profile is the same, which means the interior volume is the same. Pretty wild. I mean, I thought, Alex, this car is going to be like Mustang sized. It's not Mustang sized.
It's bigger, and when you sit in the back seat, you can definitely notice that.
Dude, it's massive. Now, glass roof is an option, part of this, I think it's called the Sun and Sound package. Would you go for the glass roof?
I don't think so. I'm just not a huge fan of glass roofs in most cars in general. If it had a shade that you could put up, maybe I would go for it, but it does make it feel nice and airy inside. I do like that.
Especially in the back seat. And then you really actually have a thick B-pillar because the rear quarter window is not that big. It's probably 18 inches long, even though the full window is probably close to 2 feet long. So you don't get the full quarter glass and actually a window, which is interesting. Wide haunches along the side, and then wheel and tire package. Now this one is the RT. So this is more of the entry level version, the base model, if we're gonna be harsh about it. It's got 275 fronts and it's got 275 rears. However, if you go for the Scat Pack, it's like 305 fronts, 325 rears.
Yep.
I mean, it's a steamroller.
It's a huge tire on the Scat Pack.
So I do appreciate that at least the RT is a square setup. So if you're running snow tires, it is all-wheel drive. We'll talk about that in a sec. You can make that happen without having to, you know, mismatch tires, which is cool.
Yeah. Another big difference is the brake calipers, too, on this compared to the Scat Pack.
Yeah. So we were driving one Scat Pack with the TrackPad. Had these huge six-piston Brembos. This has just got a more conventional standard braking setup. It does have regenerative braking. I don't think it's going to be underpowered. And then, of course, you can quickly tell which trim of Charger you're dealing with by the badging on the side. So this is RT, but the Scat Pack would have a little rumble beat down the side.
Exactly.
So coming along the rear, now that's a heck of a burnout. Someone is really going for it. We do have the Raceway taillight, which is the red light bar that makes its way around the entire width of the rear of the car. And then the new logo, Alex.
Yeah, and that's got some history to it, doesn't it?
Dude, that's called the Fratzog, which was first introduced in 1962 on the Dodge Polara 500 and made its way through the 1970s and then was discontinued. Originally it was called a fractured deltoid was the look of it. It's a little triangle guy. But what's cool is on the front, it's white lit. On the back, it's red lit. And I love it. I think it's awesome. I think that's a great throwback to the original.
Yeah, they've even got that on the center caps too, which is a nice touch.
We do have some venting back here, which is, I don't know if it's functional, but definitely is not blocked off, which is cool to see. And then Daytona indicates it's an electric charger, and the Fratsonic located underneath the Daytona is the most controversial part of the whole car.
Yeah, it's basically a speaker system with a resonance chamber that is supposed to mimic exhaust sounds, and we'll start it up in a sec and show you what it sounds like, let you make a decision on whether or not you like it, but definitely controversial.
The other thing which is a little controversial is this car looks like a sedan, or maybe, you know, a coupe, but it really is a liftback. So the entire hatch will glide open on this RT, and we're gonna find something like 38 and a half cubic feet worth of space back here. It's hard to emphasize just how big this space is. Like, I'm gonna fold down the rear seat. They fold flat. I'm gonna do the same thing over here. This is not my most appealing angle here, Alex, but I wanna show that at 6 feet tall, dude, are you kidding me right now? I can lay down flat, you know, parallel to the car, at 6 feet tall. One of the guys was saying that one of the engineers is using theirs to move drywall around. That is how big this car is. It is enormous back here. I mean, it is crazy.
There's a ton of space in the rear here. I really like this hidden hatch design. I think it's pretty clever. The one thing with it though is towards the back of the cargo area, it's super shallow. So if you have anything that's a little tall, you gotta push it forward a little bit to get this rear hatch to close.
No, that's a good point. Let's see what's underneath the floor. Looks like we got speaker, we got a little storage, we got tire inflation kit, no spare tire. And then it does have a one touchdown liftgate. Let's see if it glides down. Yep, just like that, and then it'll self-close at the bottom. So one thing I think is amiss on this car, first ever, I think I'm correct in saying this, someone will correct me wrong, ground up battery electric vehicle from Dodge, right?
Yep.
And Stellantis has already announced they're moving to the J3400, the NACS, the Tesla charging standard, but this car is launching with CCS. So if I pop open this huge charge port, and then it's kind of finicky, there we go, you can see you have your J1772 port, your DC pins, but this car should have the NACS connector from launch, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. If that's the standard they're moving to in the future, it's kind of annoying that the launch of this new car is using the older standard that a lot of companies are moving away from.
A little bit of a miss, and Stellantis themselves moving away from it. So it does have a front trunk. There's actually a little strap. Pull it twice, kind of like a BMW hood, and then it's not power operated. It is a manual front trunk. Lift that up. Now, this looks a little unfinished, Alex, this area up here. This is a pre-production car, and if you see here, it looks like there's a spot for some clips, so I'm wondering if there's gonna be like a panel.
I think there's probably gonna be a panel there.
And then we've got this little cubby. It's probably what, Alex, 2.5 feet by 18 inches wide, probably a foot and a half deep.
Yeah, it's enough to fit a charger in there or, you know, some extra things.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a huge front trunk, but if you did have some curry that you didn't want, you know, stinking up the inside of your car, you could stick that in there, which is pretty cool. So it's useful, and I'm glad that they do give you the option to have that. It's also got a weather seal on it, which is going to seal against that plastic cover. It's a little bit of a reach to get there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
So you've got the R-wing, which extends quite a bit in front of the front trunk. And like, I wouldn't want my jean jacket here just scraping up the paint, right? I say it as it's doing it now. This is a pre-production car. Unfortunately, it's probably going to be crushed, so don't get too mad at me. But this is something I would want to, you know, maybe paint protection film or somehow protect, because I could see that getting scratched up over time.
Yeah, except that's not a storage area you're going to use every day. Some EVs have, like, you know, a remote popper for the front trunk, and they really encourage you to use it all the time. This, you got to pull that strap twice, so it's more of a not everyday storage area.
So let's talk quickly about specs. Two trims we mentioned at launch, the RT and the Scat Pack, all the Daytona. The six pack is the gasoline version coming next year. And that's gonna be available in four-door in standard output and two-door in high output. That's gonna be something like 550 horsepower in high output. This car, the electric one, RT, 496 horsepower. Scat Pack, 670 horsepower. But interestingly enough, same motors between the two. And I do believe, I'm going to check this with the engineer, same battery as well, 100.5 kilowatt hour battery. So really there's a lot of software potential to unlock more power, which is kind of what this indicates on the side, the stage one. So the idea being that if you buy, let's say a standard RT and you want some more power, you should in theory be able to bring it to your local Dodge dealer, pay them some money, they unlock some power over the computer, give you a little badge, and then you've got a more powerful charger. What do you think about that, Alex?
I think that's a little controversial. I know a lot of people are gonna agree with that, but the equipment is here to make all the power. I think you should be able to access it no matter what. But, you know, I don't think these are the last versions we're gonna see either. So that's always kind of been a big selling point of these cars, is there's so many different additions and power levels you can get. And I don't think Dodge is done with the Scat Pack they're showing off now. There's probably gonna be more down the pipeline.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the Hellcat and then the double wide body. This is already wide body. Double wide body. I mean, get some marker lights on this thing like a semi truck. Yeah, that's a great point. Look, there's a lot of suspension differences between the RT and the Scat Pack. It's not just horsepower. You can get adaptive suspension on the Scat Pack, right? That changes with the modes, which has got these dual valve shocks, which are pretty cool. So like, there's a lot more to it, more tire on the Scat Pack, more brake on the Scat Pack, right? It's not just straight up power, but I do feel a little weird about that. Like, if this car has the motors of a Scat Pack, it should have the power of a Scat Pack. At least that's how my 1970s brain works.
You know what I'm saying? I totally agree with that. Yeah, and I think most of the people in the comments will too.
So, Alex, pop open that passenger door. Let's give them a look at the inside. So Alex and I were both stunned when we walked into the car because A, it's the size of Texas, and B, this interior is kind of killer.
Yeah, the interior is awesome. This one isn't even spec'd with the really fancy seats that you can get, the even sportier seats, but these are super comfortable, and just about every surface in here is leather wrapped and has stitching. There's a lot of detail in here that's really nice.
I'm gonna turn the car around here so we're not filming into the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. So let's start with the basic. Let's start with the seats here. So I'm actually gonna hop on out and show you what this design looks like. So there is a one-piece seat available on the Scat Pack, which is like a racing bucket. This is kind of your standard comfort seat, right? But super comfortable, pretty supportive. Only two-way lumbar adjustment, so you don't have a ton of lumbar adjustment. Do you have lumbar on that side, Alex?
I do have lumbar.
Good, yeah. Okay, good. I'm really glad they did that. But stitched leather, red stitching, very soft, squishy. I mean, this is the road trip seat right here.
Yeah, all the materials you could want to. You can get a cloth and leatherette. These are the full leatherette. You can also get them with a suede insert, so tons of options there.
Yeah, so seats, absolutely killer. Standard heated seats in the Daytona, standard heated steering wheel in the Daytona. So the electric ones all get some niceties. And the way you can tell the EV from the gas on the inside is up there on the dashboard, there's actually a little Daytona stamp, right? A little plaque. So that's how you know you got the electric one.
Yeah.
So some other things which are pretty cool in here. Alex and I both agree, this shifter, freaking rad.
Yeah, it's this pistol grip style shifter, but it actually moves. So it is electronically controlled. These are electric motors, but there's a physical movement to it before it gets to the electronic parts. So it feels like a regular shifter that we've all been used to for a long time.
Dude, this is badass. Like, so many EVs now have buttons and sliders and, you know, voice controls to change gear now. And this is like old school. Oh, just love it. Really good. Also like the power button located behind that.
Good placement.
Looks pretty good. And then, like, I don't know if you guys spent a lot of time in the old Charger or the old Challenger, but the dashboard was just a sea of McDonald's grade black plastic, right? And this, look at the quality. Multicolored stitched leathers, multi-layered, kind of like a three-tier design here with these little streaks down the middle and heads-up display. I mean, this is a cool-looking interior now.
Yeah, definitely. I love all the different stacks and layering they did and this texture on the doors with the backlighting that you can change colors. It's all really cool without being overdone. What do you think of the steering wheel?
Don't love the squircle. So squircle, square, circle, square on the top, square on the bottom. I love the 10 and 2 driving position, and I'm basically driving now in these points. It's a stupid thing to complain about, maybe, but I mean, the advantage of the squircle is you maximize the view angle of the 16-inch, the optional in the RT 16-inch instrument cluster, so that's kind of good, but I kind of keep the bottom flat, whatever, but make the top round.
I disagree with you. I like that steering wheel. Bad name. If you're calling it squircle, that's a lame name, but I think it's a cool wheel.
Dodge doesn't call it. That's a Tommy.
That's a Tommy name.
Yeah, that's not a Dodge thing. But the paddle shifters to adjust the regen settings over here. I don't know if you can kind of zoom in on that. We actually have three different regen settings, and you use the paddle to adjust it. Not that uncommon. And then a bunch of different buttons on the steering wheel. You want to walk us through what the different drive modes do, Alex?
Yeah, so there's a little arrow button there where you can cycle through them, and you can also press the center button to kind of customize those modes. But we have an auto mode, we have a sport mode, wet and snow.
That's it.
And that's it for the RT. If you go up to the Scat Pack, you're going to have a lot more modes. Trying to blow it up.
So that's that Fretsonic sound we're talking about in sport mode. In auto mode, it actually won't let you rev it up. And then the Scat Pack's got the drag and the track mode, which are a lot louder than that. So if you want the most sound out of your exhaust, you got to get the Scat. Power shot button, kind of cool. It gives you 40 horsepower for 10 seconds, and it actually gives you. Do you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it makes it a lot louder when you push that power shot button. That's for most horsepower. Other things to talk about, screen. Got this big Uconnect 5-inch screen. I do like that, like the vehicle. Do you see that? They gave you actually a little charger.
That's cool. A nice touch.
One thing which drives me crazy, the refresh rate on the screen is abysmal, but Alex pointed out, like, the screen itself is pretty fast.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like when you scroll through pages and stuff, it's all buttery smooth for the most part.
Yeah, I confused it. Sorry.
Yeah, all good.
But like specifically with like the power flow, you can see that it kind of seems to struggle sometimes with the displays. We also noticed that on the actual instrument cluster. Pre-production, maybe they're working some bugs out. But the screen, wireless Apple CarPlay, wireless Android Auto as well, navigation, great clarity to the screen. That looks really nice. Still have physical volume and a tune scroll knob. Big win. We do have shortcuts for heated seat, ventilated seats. And we have a little panel over here to control the climate control. But this does not feel like a quality item.
Yeah, and again, we keep saying it. This might improve as this goes into production, but it just doesn't feel... there's no confidence in it. When you go to select things, you don't actually know if you click them or not. It feels a little hollow and plasticky, but everything else is good. Uconnect is a good system. This is angled towards the driver. It's still really easy to see from the passenger seat. I like the, you know, the physical controls you pointed out on either side, but yeah, this is not great on the bottom here.
Good news is, still have buttons and knobs for the mirror. Unlike Tesla, right? You still actually have a control for the mirror. You still have buttons over here. For the headlights, you have a ton of buttons for the steering wheel, you have window switches, you have memory seat buttons, you have a bunch of different physical controls. So that's a big win, including up here. This glass roof doesn't open. There's no way to slide it open. It is tinted to help with some of that sun protection.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
And then let's talk one really quick about this display. So, a couple of interesting things. This is a kind of your standard display mode. You got range number, you got MPH, you've got your different regen modes we talked about, and then on the bottom right here, which I like, you have your little electric gauge, which shows you state of charge as well as the percentage, always there ready to go. But I can push a button and actually cycle through the information in the middle, which is quite nice, some settings, some messages, or I can change the layout altogether. So this is a very minimalist look with these little bubbles that are floating, or I can go to this version, which is more minimalist bubbles. There we go, I got rid of the bubbles. Can put the navigation front and center, right? You can kind of cycle through some of that information as well. So good stuff here. I think that this is quite a good screen. And also some good performance timers, right? We got 0 to 100, we got eighth mile, quarter mile, lap timer, braking distance, G-forces, top track speed. And then also over here, let's see if the RT also has it. Performance pages, here we go. This is kind of weird. You see the drive mode has a BFG?
Yeah, it's an off-road tire.
What is that about? Maybe that's like a pre-production thing. There's a wet snow mode, I suppose. But look, if we go to vehicle, man, that's super annoying when that idle comes on. Vehicle, performance pages. So we have a bunch of gauges, including battery level, high voltage, 70.6. Battery voltage for the low voltage system, 14 volts. High voltage battery temperature, that's super cool. Front and rear motor temperature, super cool, as well as some output information.
Yeah, they give you a lot of things to play with, a lot of things to look at that are all performance related. So yeah, if you're into all that kind of stuff, there's a lot to go through here, which is cool, because that's what this car is all about. A
couple other things I want to point out. If I go to the settings, go to, where is it? Here, maybe it's at the top. Electric drive. Turn the EV noise off.
And once that's off, it is so quiet inside of here. It's like, they have acoustic glass, dual pane glass. They did a lot to make it really dead quiet in here. We had a semi truck idling next to us a little while ago, and neither of us could tell if it had shut off or not.
No, it really very, very quiet. We're also, see down here, we have a little slider for our air vents, so physical air vent controls, that's awesome. Traction off button, lane assistant button, wireless charger over here in a great location. Couple of cup holders, electronic parking brake, pull to push to turn on, push to turn off, and then if we pop open the center console, got some storage, and we also have a little 12 volt here. You can also get an optional track recording, which would pop out a little USB-A here.
Yeah.
So cool, we also, speaking of ADAS, blind spot monitoring, adaptive cruise control, lane centering, it's got all the modern stuff. So Dodge's really catching up in that area as well. So that's kind of the front seat taken care of. Should we show them the rear seat?
Yeah, let's show them. We gotta fold them up though.
Oh, one thing I hate, Alex. I don't like the digital door handle. I just don't understand the point.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's really saving all that much space. Seems like it's complicating things. There is a manual override down here in case that stops working for whatever reason, but
you see if this thing is a sticker?
Takes a little bit of time to get used to.
All right, pricing. So Daytona RT, the electric one, starts at really 61 and a bit after destination. This one has the triple nickel exterior paint. Does it? RT stage one. That's the 496 horsepower. That's $1,600 extra, by the way, to get the 496 horsepower.
That's steep.
The Plus group is $5,000. That gives you bifunction LED headlights, enhanced security alarm, windshield wiper de-icer, the frunk. Apparently, you don't get the frunk if you don't get that. 16-inch color display, rain-sensing wipers, 8-way power-adjustable front passenger with 2-way lumbar, ventilated front seats. I mean, a lot of good stuff, but it's $5,000. The black top package blacks everything out. $1,000. Sunroof and Sound is Alpine 18 speaker sound system with the glass roof, and then Destination brings the total to $70,970.
That is a lot of money for what is technically the base model charger.
And interestingly enough, you can get the RT with up to just over 300 miles of range, but this one as spec'd, according to the sticker, is only running 268. So I'm wondering if there's like a wheel tire package that changes wheel or changes range numbers. That's out of a 100 kilowatt hour battery, so not super efficient. And then the S, not the SRT, the Scat Pack is closer to like, what's the range number on that? 260?
240, I think.
241, I think. Yeah, 241. I asked about charging times. It wouldn't give me exact numbers. The engineer said on his road trip, plugging in, he would see numbers on a 350 kilowatt up to like 220, 230 kilowatts. Love to test that. We're not going to have time on this trip, but I would love to see what those numbers really are, because it's the first, you know, ground-up EV for Dodge. This is based on the STLA Large platform, which is going to underpin a bunch of other vehicles. So, yeah, really curious to see more about the EV stuff, and we'll have full driving impressions coming up in just a couple days. So, glove box is a good size as well. So, let's go ahead and check up this rear seat here. So, to lever to pull, and then there's a little bit of a weight.
Yeah, it's not the worst weight.
It's actually not too bad. I'm gonna pop up the second row, just like that. Pop up this one as well. Pull this seat back. All right, let's see if my feet get squished like they would on the old Challenger. Not even a little. The amount of room in the backseat of this two-door is better than I think anything on the market. If you want a two-door and need a back seat and need to seat five people, this thing is nuts, dude.
Yeah, five-seater in a two-door is a pretty unique thing. You don't see all that often. And it's roomy back there. You don't look squished at all.
No, so. Couple of cup holders on the fold-down armrest. Headroom is a little compromised because of the sloping roofline. Look, I don't think it's going to be any better on the five-door because they say it doesn't change the interior volume at all. But we'll have to wait and see when that hits dealers starting next year. This is supposed to hit dealers right about now, end of 2024. Heated rear seats back here, two USB-C ports, couple of air vents. If you care about rear seat space in your two-door, the best. Yeah. Bar none. This is as good as it gets, for
sure. Definitely. It's a big car. There better be some room back there.
So, Alex, those are our first impressions of the new Dodge Charger Daytona. But I would love to hear a little bit more from the folks that designed this vehicle. So let's go ahead, head back to home base here at the Radford Racing School and see if we can talk to some people and learn more about what went into this. We have a really unique opportunity to talk to a legend within the Dodge and SRT community, one of the gentlemen responsible for the Charger Daytona. Adam, buddy.
What's up, man?
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
and thanks for coming out.
Nice to
out.
See you.
So what do you do with Dodge?
Yeah, so my role is I'm the director of vehicle development on the engineering side. So when you think of durability, you think of NVH, you think of active chassis, dynamics, you know, kind of all the guts that makes the car, that's what me and my team get to touch and work with Audrey and her team to get all the right things aligned, to make sure we get brand, the product that they want, and ultimately our customers, what they want to see.
So Adam, one of the things that I think is so cool about you is this may be the first fully electric Dodge Charger, but this is not your first rodeo with the company, right?
Agreed. Agreed. So, yeah, I go back quite far with SRT. I started with John Fernandez way back in 2000. I joined SRT. Back then it was PVO. And you remember those were the Herb Helbig days. I was hired on to work on the Gen 3 Viper.
Wow.
At that time, I was a body engineer. I went on to move to work on the SRT4 and the SRT10 trucks. You remember the SRT trend? A lot of love there. And then I moved into the, as we moved on and you know, the brand became to evolve on its own, I moved on and developed a 300C, the Charger, and the Magnum. So I was the vehicle integration lead for those. Several years later, we thought up the idea to come up with a Challenger and bring that back to market. I was the vehicle development engineer lead for the Challenger 2008 three quarter.
Wow.
I then led the team through the 2009 manual transmission. And then we had some financial issues, right? And coming out of financial issues in 2011, the only SRT product we had to market was actually the 392. a 392 Challenger with a 6.4. It was the only product in 2011 that got that 6.4, and I was lucky enough to be on that program as well.
Did you do Hellcat too?
I did. We had a special program where we built some Alpha engines. And I actually ran a VMAX on the first Hellcat Alpha engine way back.
Wow.
So that's years before we ever did the Hellcat program. So lots and lots of history. And I was very, very lucky to be part of an amazing team at SRT and working with Herb Helbig. And, you know, if you guys remember, you know, we had like Joe Grace that was heading up SRT as well. And when this program happened, I was actually working on the heavy-duty, light-duty trucks and propulsion.
Okay.
So I had kind of moved over to propulsion for a couple years and had a lot of fun doing light hybrids there. And I actually got a call from Joe Grace. He was working in Italy, and Joe's an amazing guy. He was always a mentor, just phenomenal engineer. And he was leading up global product development and called me up and said, would you think maybe you could come back and work on this new program? And I was just, I was coming home, right? So all the time in my career, all those years that I put into the product, it couldn't have been a better time to come back as we brought kind of this car into the next generation and built from all the legacy and made sure that we did it right moving into the future with the first BEV.
So the reason I want to talk to Adam is because Adam eats, sleeps, and breathes internal combustion. I mean, you've worked on, within this company, turbo fours, V10s, NA V8s, supercharged V8s.
Yeah.
I mean, I gotta ask, like, were you skeptical when you heard that the Charger was going electric?
Not really. I was actually excited about it.
Okay.
The reason is because our company was ready to move into the next propulsion generation. And what better to lead that next generation than the ultimate muscle, right? We were always defining what the muscle car was and being true to that past. And so what we didn't want to have is someone to beat us to market with a muscle car, and then we were actually following them instead of being the lead. So having the BEV in the muscle car was, to me, perfect. I love it. And the instant torque, all right, zero emissions. So it's a perfect combination. And remember, we will have ICE to market as well. So there is a place in the portfolio for the customer that has to burn gas.
So how do you make the transition from the definitive badass rear-wheel drive, tire smoke, V8 screaming monster to, on paper, an electric all-wheel drive four and two-door sedan? How do you bring that attitude into the future?
Yeah, so no, it's a good question. So there's a couple characteristics that we didn't want to lose with the original cars, right? So on the SRT products, rear-wheel drive, except for the WL Grand Cherokee where that had all-wheel drive, right? We wanted to have the power, put the power down to the ground, and having the twin EDMs front and rear, 250 kilowatt front, 250 rear, gives us that ultimate pedigree for the track performance so that when you get out of the turn, you can punch it and you're just instant throttle. So having all that torque, we got 4,500 Newton meters on the output shaft of the front and rear EDMs. Hmm. Like, just put it in perspective for a second, 4,500, right? If you do the math on it, that's 3,300 pound-feet of torque.
Yeah.
It's just mind-boggling, right? We're used to this, you know, 600, 800 pound-feet of torque, and you get into this thing and it's just incredible. So the all-wheel drive is important. Now we talk about, well, what about the background of rear-wheel drive and what it meant in our history of, you know, drifting the Hellcats out here and things like that, right? So we created a mode, a drift mode for this car that you'll be able to try today, and you'll be able to go out on this track, drift it, donut, do all the different things that you're used to doing in the Hellcats in this car, and then also punch it into all-wheel drive and then take it around the track. So it kind of gives you the best combination, and I think that's kind of what an engineer's dream is, right? Is we come to work and we hope that product planning and marketing and the CEOs will give us, I'll call it the availability of the tools to be able to make the product that we dream of, right? So I can say without any doubt that every tool and every item that I needed to be successful on this car from Joel Baker, our propulsion chief, who's phenomenal, right, to his PCAL team that did all the calibration in this, to Vanessa Vitzo and you know, Gibson, who did the battery in this car. Like, the entire team is just united around this vehicle to just bring, I'll call it, the next revolution and evolution of the car forward. So it's amazing to have all-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive, instant torque, and also being somewhat responsible in terms of the emission side, but saving for that customer that wants the ICE.
Right.
Don't worry, we're going to bring an ICE as well.
So let's go walk over to this red car, this this RT. I think it'll look a little better in camera. And then we also have this white one Sofyan's in. So let's talk about some of the engineering. So STLA is a platform, right?
Stellar Large, yeah.
And when we hear STLA, that's going to underpin a number of vehicles, not only Charger, but several Jeep products as well.
Yes.
What do you do to that platform to make it Charger worthy?
Yeah, good question. So there's a lot of commonality that we do with the Stellar Large platform. And like you said, there's a variety of different usage for that, right? So we have LP1, LP2, and LP3, we call it internally.
Okay.
LP1 is what this is. It's the sedan, okay?
Okay, yep.
And then what we have is the LP2, which is the Wagoneer S that we, we're out of the sun now, that's better. And then the Wagoneer S, which gives us more of that that sport utility type of, you know, high age point and everything else. So coupling the two together is that we have common architecture to really bring the underside, right? Hmm. So just think of the underbody of the vehicles and think of the front structure of the vehicles, where we have the what we call the typical engine box,
right,
and where the EDM packaging is, right?
Oh, EDM, so, for those that don't
electric
know.
Drive motor.
Okay,
I'm
thank
sorry.
You. No, you're good.
I've already moved over to Bev's here,
no,
but
you're
yeah,
good. Yeah,
electric
yeah, keep
drive
going.
Motor.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what we do in this car is we share as much of that front box as we can and that structure with those other platforms so that we can share parts. Commonality is the name of the game here, so that we can get to smart engineering, so we're not redesigning components like in the sill, right? Hmm. So we can share sill parts, we can share some of the major body pan structures, but we can differentiate the two because this vehicle is an ICE variant as well. So we have a center tunnel section that is shared between the ICE and the BEV variant. So when this car is in the body shop,
yeah,
whether it's an ICE or a BEV, it looks exactly the same. You don't see a difference.
That's interesting.
The only thing that would be unique to what a customer could actually see in the body shop after we go through the panel line would be the unique hood.
Okay.
Because we put the fascias on in the trim shop. Right?
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah.
Very interesting.
So this is the plastic parts he's hanging after. So we call it the body in white, which is the sheet metal.
Yep.
And when you're in the body shop and you're looking at the vehicle, and it's, by the way, it's built in Windsor, Ontario, which we're also very proud of.
Sure.
And having kind of a close relationship with our friends over in the Canadian side. And I also mentioned that the batteries are assembled in Canada as well.
Nice.
We have a battery plant where we're building up the packs in-house, and so we consider that to be our vertical integration strategy within Stellantis.
So Adam, you are a track man. You must be if you worked on Virgin Viper.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of the big challenges we've experienced with EVs in the past on the track is managing thermals.
Yes.
How do you manage that with the new Charger Electric?
Yeah, so it all kind of starts with a setup, right? So this vehicle is very unique from any other BEV in that we actually do a race prep. So you'll remember on the Hellcats how we do, we use the AC system to do a preconditioning,
yes,
right?
Yes, right.
This baby's got the same thing.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, so little known secret. We didn't talk about it this morning, but inside the scat pack in the radio head unit, if you go to race options, there's race prep in there. And when you hit race prep, it will warm or cool the battery, the high voltage battery, to approximately 65, 68 degrees, precondition the battery so that you're getting the max amperage out of that battery for performance. So that's the first way from a track perspective. So you show up at the track and your buddy's got his other product, whatever he's driving, you're actually able to get that battery in the absolute best condition for driving.
Interesting.
To me, this is a key development that we've got, and we're doing it in a smart way. We're using the glycol coolant system within the car, which we have a heat exchanger for, and we can actually manage the heat exchanger usage and the AC usage to drive whether we want to heat or cool and get that battery right to the right spot.
Okay.
So that's number one. The second way, all right, is we move over to the front of the car here.
Yeah.
Right, so beautiful up front, right? But the number one name of the game here is we want to have the right aerodynamics in the right area into the lower grille. We've got active grille shutters in the lower here. Those open up fully where we're in the track setting. And then essentially what's happening is that variable pump that I mentioned before in the heat exchanger is moving all of that coolant and getting it through the through the cooling module and then getting it to the EDMs and through the batteries as well.
Interesting.
So we actually continuously monitor both the EDM oil, front, rear, and on the battery side. And we find that the battery is not the, I'll call it the limiting factor in this car. Mm. So with a lot of other EVs, when you take them to the track, you'll find that the batteries get warm really quickly and then it goes into a D rate.
Right.
This car's not, that's not how we design this car.
Do you have like an endurance mode where you're pulling
amperage? What we do is we have it, there's a variety of different setups. So on this track car here, for example, the Scat Pack, its peak is 670 horsepower.
Okay.
So you can always get 670, no problem. If you're in drag mode, 670 all day long. There is no power shot. Just 670, boom, 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 you're hitting the drag strip. Now you can do over 20 runs on the drag strip before you even start to see 3-4 tenths of degradation in your time.
Interesting, okay.
Like you're rocking this car down 122 miles per hour on the drag strip track here, and 11.4, 11.5, 11.5 is really where we tell people to be if you're not preconditioning the battery.
Yeah.
But it's a track car.
What's the top speed?
135 miles per hour.
Okay.
But that's EDM limited because we're after torque. I mentioned the torque, so we're not going to give up on that. So we have 11.1:1 ratio. And so we're all after that performance. Now, how many tracks in the US, maybe VIR, a couple other ones, really going to use that top speed anyway, right? So we're going to save that. We've got some future plans, so
stay tuned.
Get into that here, but stay tuned. But for now, we're after maximizing the efficiency and the track capability of what a 400-volt vehicle can do, and we think we got it right here in this Daytona.
So gearing, front motor, rear motor, are they geared the same? Or are you overdriving the rear?
It's the same.
Okay.
Yep.
And then, I know you mentioned it earlier, but just to clarify, same power output front to rear?
It is.
Okay, so yep. It should be like weight distribution. How does this compare to the old car?
Oh, it's perfect. It's actually 2% better. So it's almost perfect weight distribution front to rear in this car than where we have in the old car.
Okay.
So yeah, so we were like 46-54 and now we're closer to the 48-52.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that's pretty good.
That's another benefit. And another item that people often overlook on the BEV is you have this battery, yes, it's heavy, the battery's heavy. But if you gave a weight to an engineer, where the hell is he gonna put it? Mm-hmm. Low and in the middle of the car. And that's exactly where we're putting this. We're putting the battery as low as we can, underslung, right? Still meeting all those clearance requirements, but keeping it low, and then you end up with a very good dynamic capability on the track. And then also having the weight in the center helps you for all that neutral steer that you'll feel when you're out on the racetrack.
So last question before the PR lead throws her shoe at me because she's been very patient.
Kristen's great.
We talked a little bit about how even though mechanically motors are pretty similar from RT to Scat Pack.
Yes.
You were talking to me earlier that the cars are actually very different. So what are some of like the big mechanical changes that a Scat Pack with a Track Pack would have over like a basic RT?
Yeah, perfect. That's a good question. So let's start with the propulsion. The propulsion is the same EDM motors, electric drive motors, front to rear. Those are the same. This is all part of being smart with our portfolio from a global perspective and allowing these different propulsions to be used in different places. Hmm. So on the RT, a little bit less power, right? So we only peak out at 500 horsepower on the RT.
Sure.
On the Scat Pack, we peak out on 670 horsepower. The battery is shared between the two. Same battery, exactly the same battery. So we're limiting the power on the RT that we do not limit on the Scat Pack. Now, that has to be coupled with another point that you can't give full power without having the brakes. Mm. So if I gave 670 horsepower to the RT here, we can just imagine, right, with the BR2 brakes, what that would mean. It's not a good balance between acceleration and braking, right? So really, it's not about pulling power away from that customer. It's really about balancing the braking capability, the overall track capability of this car with forward acceleration and then on the positive and the negative side. So we have the BR2 floating brakes on this car, which are very capable,
yep,
but they're set up specifically to that power output that we talked about before. The BRN brakes Which are over here, these six pot brakes. These things are monsters.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys looked at them earlier, but
I think this is an RT as well. We need a scat
pack. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
You gotta go to a scat pack.
You're good. One of them down here. Let's go to the black one. So, manufactured by Brembo, is it just the front brake that's different, or is the rear brake different as
both
well?
Both are different.
Both are different. Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, we actually did a remote caliper now. So, you remember on the Vipers, we had a remote caliper for the rear.
Yep.
So, if we go to the rear first, we'll start with a four pot. It's a fixed caliper, a posed piston four pot, but it's a monster, right? Yeah. Compare this to the current four pot that we have. This is actually almost the same size as what our current generation is on the front.
Now, Adam, excuse my ignorance, but like, why do you need such big brakes if you have regen capability?
This is where my background comes in.
Okay.
Okay, so in my job, part of it is balancing the cost with the performance, with the heritage and everything else that we talked about. This car has regen capability 0.3G, right?
Okay.
600 amps of regen. It's ridiculous.
It's a lot of regen, yes.
Right? So the regen is a big deal on this car. However, what happens if you don't have that regen?
So like battery's full, right?
I'm at 100%.
Okay.
Right, let's just say.
Yes.
So it's my first stint. I'm at 100%, right? I'm all mechanical brake. Mm. So maybe some of the other manufacturers have some limitations on that. We have over-designed the brakes on purpose because this is absolutely a track car. There's no compromise on the brakes on this car. Hmm. No one would look at these brakes, front to rear, like it's more like, why are they so huge, right?
Right.
And it's really about making sure that we have no compromise between any fade resistance capabilities, and there's no fade on this car.
And then suspension pretty different between Scat and RT?
There is. The RT has a has just basically a passive suspension, we call it.
Okay.
Right? So there's no electrons. On this one here, we have adaptive suspension. So we actually have a valve that continuously changes low, medium, high damping within the actual dampers all the way around the vehicle to manage to keep the vehicle flat on the road. And so we've got 305 fronts.
Jeez.
And 325 rears, monstrous tires. And we want this thing to be well over a G. It's we're actually 1.01. We peak at 1.02 G.
Okay.
Like 5,900 pounds. Like think about pulling 1 G with this car, right?
Yeah.
The tire is so important. And keeping that patch on the ground is equally, if not more, important than that. So we standardize the adaptive damping on this car for that exact reason, so that when you're on the track, it's planted. And the greatest thing about this, and the greatest secret, honestly, is that when you take this and you put it into street mode, it's a plush ride, right? You guys experienced that earlier.
Yeah.
It's smooth, windows up, you turn the exhaust off, it's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
You forget you're in a muscle car. It's just so quiet, you're just talking, and then you release the animal, turn on the exhaust, put it in track mode, and then you're feeling, get all the feedback through the steering, and it really comes alive, and that's the intent.
So last question, I promise.
Yeah.
What were some of the big lessons learned over 20 years of SRT development that you were able to apply to the first ever fully electric charger?
Yeah, no, amazing question. It comes down to two things, main, okay? Oh, I'll go three.
Okay, go for three.
First is the brakes, right? Number one thing that we wanted to do in this program is we wanted to make sure that these brakes are just absolutely, just beyond capable from a track perspective, right? This is not about straight line performance only. It's about track performance, handling, and ultimate capability. And so we're staying away from anything that even is a hint of, you know, the fade, you know, the F word, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's number one. And a big brake in the front, and also a trailing brake is good too, right? Because you don't want coming around on you, right? So the second lesson learned that we applied here is the tire from the platform.
Okay.
So when we originally developed this platform, remember I mentioned the underbody and the sharing of the underbody?
Yeah.
We had to make sure that the inner wheelhouse, right, and all the linkages for the suspension allowed for this outside face to meet all the requirements of not extending beyond this 80 inch, which is the largest allowed without marker lights, right? Come on.
Yeah.
But where's the applause on that, right? So we moved this as far out as we possibly could.
Okay.
Without requiring those marker lights. That's the 80 inches. And then what we did was we lined up all of the outside face of tires, another lessons learned, to be the same. So if you walk over to the RT, if you walk them, they're very, very, very similar. Hmm. As opposed to the current generation where you see massive differences.
Right.
Right? So the when you ask what, you know, from a track perspective, the track is different.
Right.
All cars are different. So that was the number two lesson was packaging a 325 tire up front, the tire we needed before we even started the detail work from, I'll call it the derivative side of the LP1. And then the third thing was the aerodynamics.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So
that R-wing, is it actually effective?
It's neutral aerodynamically, right? So we use it more for front rear balance.
Okay.
So aerodynamically, the importance of this car is to have front rear balance for downforce so that you can apply right at high speeds, you can do double lane changes without having any bad tendencies.
Okay.
Especially important, not only on the track, but also safety, right?
Right.
Just thinking of outside for conditions. So
I didn't mean to interrupt you. So aero, what do you mean by importance?
Yeah, we were able to tune this front spoiler here to keep it aero neutral, so it doesn't hurt the aerodynamics of the car, but tune it for the downforce. And this is a wonderful thing because we're able to balance not only the characteristics of the downforce, but give studio what they wanted to turn this stylistic speaking.
Yeah.
So I don't want anyone to think by putting a wing here that, you know, the CD of the car is less. That's not true. It's really about balancing the rear and front lift and make sure it's a balanced vehicle without, because usually when you do the balance, you lose the aerodynamics, and we've been able to balance both of them here.
Adam, you speak like a man who spent a lot of time on the track in this car.
Yeah, quite a bit, Yeah. Maybe we could spend some time today on the track, you and I, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's been many, many good years of development. And, you know, we've got the tracks that we do a lot of our work on, like Texas Motor Ranch, and, you know, we do a Chuck Walla, and, you know, we've got VIR. We go to tracks all around the U.S.
Yeah.
And through the years, there's different things that you learn from every track. And this is where the background comes in handy, right? Because when you're in the design reviews, you're reminding the other engineers all the lessons we learned and make sure we carry it forward and make sure we're putting all that into this product. And that's why I'm so proud of this product, right? It's like not just a culmination of someone's design on a piece of paper, but rather everybody here and all the time that they put in through their back, I'll call it their history within Chrysler, Stellantis, you know, whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah.
It's just been a great opportunity to evolve the vehicle. And yeah, I really welcome the BEV, and I'm really happy with what we got in the end. And I think we've got a lot of other products that are going to excite the consumers as well.
Nice.
Even if the BEV isn't the right thing for your driveway. But I think if your readers, your followers, if they go to a dealership and they try this car, they're going to fall in love with this car.
Okay.
Because when you're looking at the printed material and you're hearing the sound bits from a WAV file on the computer, it doesn't do it justice. Mm. And so I'd invite everybody, just go check out the car. You know, if you have any questions, you know, follow up with me and I'll make sure I get back to you on any questions that maybe some of your readers might have. And, you know, we'll take all that in consideration, right? Good, bad, or whatever. We're here to make a great product, so.
Adam, thank you.
Yeah,
I really
welcome.
Appreciate it, buddy. That was awesome. So we want to show off this FretSonic sound that this EV offers. And what we're going to
do. Actually, wait, before you do that, shouldn't we get a scat pack for that? Because you can go into drag mode.
That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. So we want to talk about the sound. Now, this is the RT. It doesn't have the drag mode, which is crazy loud, but we're still going to get a sense of what it sounds like on the outside in sport mode in this RT. So I'm going to go ahead and start her up, because that's a pretty interesting thing as well. You get this crazy, and then we'll start revving it and see what you guys think. So here we go. Alex is in the back with his mic. Once again, this is an outside speaker. Here goes the startup. And I forgot I turned the EV sound off, Alex.
We'll try it again.
Turn it back on. Okay, turning it on. I mean, it really is like a burst of lightning or thunder.
It sounds like you just walked into an arcade. That's what it's reminding me of.
And let me go ahead and go into the sport mode, and we'll give her some revs, okay? So this is sport mode engaged. Mm-hmm. And then the way this works is you also get kind of a rumble on the inside. Like you get some reverb through the seat, which is pretty crazy. So the Scat Pack does that same noise but louder if you get like the drag mode engaged. You can't change the noise like you can in an Ioniq 5N. It's only that one V8 sound. What I will say is stationary, it sounds pretty dumb. But hearing these cars zoom by on the track at full tilt, it sounds very convincing. This also doesn't have the fake paddle shifting like an Ioniq 5N, so I can't tell you what it drives like, but when you're on the throttle, I can tell you, it's just a fact, not an impression, that it will rev up and down, but it won't simulate the shifts.
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, part of the reason while you're stationary that it sounds a little weird is because that's all you're hearing. When they're flying by on a track, you've also got the sounds of the tires and the air rushing by, so I think there's a lot of other noises involved that help sell it. I agree, it sounds good going down the track. When it's in its loudest drag mode and you're just in a parking lot revving it up, not so much.
Not so much. Well, folks, let us know what you think of this new Charger in the comment section below. Hope we were able to kind of shed some light on this new car, which we're pretty excited about. I think overall we're a little skeptical on some stuff, but really excited to get some time behind the wheel, which will be coming up shortly. And as always, this has been Tommy.
And Alex behind the camera.
We'll see you guys next time. Thanks for watching.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.